Paul Morake and Jonas Tlhabile had known each other their entire lives. The two men lived kilometers apart as children, grew up together, and even competed in the same sports tournament. However, one became a detective within the South African police force, while the other became one of South Africa's most wanted serial rapists. Tlhabile was last month sentenced to 11 life sentences for rape and a cumulative 363 years for rape, attempted murder, theft, robbery with aggravating circumstances, robbery, attempted robbery, assault, assault with intent to commit grievously bodily harm, attempt to commit a sexual offense, and sexual assault by the Northwest High Court. 21 victims had opened cases against the 43-year-old.
I didn't believe that he is the one that can do that, because facially he's innocent. During the day, he's innocent. During the day, he was playing soccer, he was playing pool. Maybe we met somewhere at the pub, we play soccer, maybe there will be competitions. He was playing for another team. When we met, it was whereby that it's our fight. I know about this gangster club. He was one of the leader of SVK. So it was simple for me. That's why there was an intervention of tracking team TRT. And then they came, we went. We even went to his parental place.
The detective, Sergeant Morake, detailed the journey to catch the serial rapist who terrorized Wolmaranstad women between December 2012, and the process to finally get justice for Tlhabile's victims.
And then I started 2011 working for Wolmaranstad. We had a parade every morning. We had the parade whereby you discuss the docket. I started to analyze. Most of the time, the docket whereby suspect is unknown. I will check the modus operandi. How did the victim raped or? I was looking at that one and I got that. That's what it's similar to that one. It might be one suspect is moving around that area. So for us, it's only around during time, because there is SIAC whereby they have to analyze crime. From this time till this time, we'll receive dockets of rape, of murder. Now we need visibility. The first one reported 2012. We started, and then 2012 till 2017. No, 2018, during May, because that was the last docket that I attended. Most of them, I was the IO. Maybe suspect is unknown because it was using ballot lava. We tried to engage LCRC in regard to the facial appearance, maybe if they can rot, but they were always saying that I was raped by this person unknown. He was covering his face with a ballot lava of handkerchief. Only eyes were exposed. That's how I said that. When I received the docket 2018, it was immediately after I was investigating one of the lady, and then she was the partner to my friend, and some of the victims, I was attending church with them. So it was difficult for me to maybe like saying, hey, we'll just leave stone unattended like that. I was singing with them, some of the family, they are looking, you are a police officer, you are working this, you failed to do 1, 2, 3. That's how I started to pick up the signal. The day will come. And then I will receive the dockets. We even went to his parental place. He was not there. The sister asked me, why are you looking for? And then I started to lie to the sister. I said, no, man. We want to go to play snooker today. There's a tournament. Because I was with the tracking team. You won't think that they are police officers, because some of them, they've got dreads, they got tattoos. That's how.
None of you were in uniform.
It was only me. I was not doing this. And so now the family started to believe, really, because we went to play pool. There's a tournament. That's how we can. They gave me his number. I called. He was not around. He was at the bushes. You know, we drove. He was hunting animals. He was hunting animals. He checked. And then I asked him, where are you? He said, no. Behind Indian center. No, I'm driving this bike here. I've got people here. They want the tournament challenge. Maybe they're going to take us to Stilfontein. That's how. And then he just came running. When he saw me, it was like, he know me. He was trusting me. So I said, okay. We just went on. We drove to town. We were four, five. And then I said it to him, no, I've left something inside my car at the police station. Can we just drive to police station? He was like, he was so friendly, not knowing that he's under the arrest. I never told him that you are under arrest. I've never said it. Up until we went to the police station, we went behind. I said, no, I've packed my car that side. Then the moment we arrived at police station, that's how now I started to take out the warrant of arrest. No, man, I was looking for you for this. I do have a warrant of arrest of you for these cases of rape. And it was like, what? Rape? I said, yeah, rape. Remember you were arrested 2017 for attempted murder during February. You were arrested again September. Now, when they took your buccal sample, that buccal sample, it goes to forensic for matching. Now it matches with this one. And then started to be said, you are under arrest. With one of my colleagues, now he's now dismissed. And then he was talking to this guy. I only hear that, don't talk. I was like, what? He was a friend to the suspect now, to the accused. He was a friend. And even the one that I met, I was requesting all the books, the registers. And then I said, no. He said, let me phone my parents because they don't know that I've been arrested. I said, yes. I was called around 11 o'clock. At that moment, I was sleeping. In the evening, 11 o'clock, your suspect is gone. Mm. What? That Wednesday, the very same Wednesday when I arrested him, it was the first day of the shift. They are working 2 days, day shift, 2 days, night shift. Now, on Thursday, it was the second day. Friday, it's the first night. The very same person that he called, they were communicating because there were a lot of... I see it on the other docket, whereby he was communicating and other inmates. Remember, if I detain you to a group, I know really what I need from you. I will ask someone, get information from this person. That's how. On Friday, around 11 o'clock, I was phoned by station. Come to police station. Your suspect is gone. I said, I don't go. I'm sleeping. Captain Wagner, she was working SIAC at that moment. She came to police station. She was a duty officer. She phoned me. I said, I refused. Up until Saturday morning.
Why did they want you to come to the station?
How did the suspect to escape from local camp? Because during the night, we are not allowed to open the gates. We only count them because there is a giant door. There is a door entry whereby it was like something which in the very same shift. I said, I will never go there. Up until Saturday morning when I was called by the station commander, come to police station. I said it, but he said, no, I'm at police station. TRT Academy. Captain Munchua, he was one of the leader of TRT. That's how I went. We traced him through Grepa because they gave him his cell phone. We traced him through Grepa, the farms. And then the tracker said, no. Grepa said, no, we have reached our destination at the bushes. We are looking, nothing. And then we keep on tracing him until we receive information. He's at Vetport. One of them they phoned me. But they will never tell you because it was a private number. I really never think that I will arrest him again. Up until there was a case of A escape was open, aiding to escape also.
Reporting for Times Live, I am Thabo Tshabalala.